Okay, this is going to tie in a little bit with what Andrew shared. When I was just pondering and praying about what I should share on, it just kind of came to my heart and to my mind about how we can grow in the Lord. And when you talk about growing, I think about maturing and becoming more like Jesus. And that is right in line with the abundant life. And I was encouraged by a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. It says, 2 Corinthians 4:16, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." And so we can see that Paul was being renewed day by day. And that's the Lord's desire for my life and for our lives, that there's a renewing of our heart and our mind and a change and growth every single day. And, you know, as Andrew shared, you know, if we look back a year, is there a change? You know, and the growth is, it's like there's in Proverbs 4, chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day." So if you think of the sun as an example, you know, if you were to just consider the sun, you don't just see it, you know, if you gaze at it, it's not, you don't see it moving. But, you know, over time, you know, an hour later, 2 hours later, it's in a different spot in the sky. And that should be our life. The sun is constantly, there's movement, and we know the sun is not moving, the earth is rotating, but a picture of the sun rising in the sky is a picture of our walk with the Lord and how we're always growing, and there should be growth continually, day by day. The sun never goes backwards in the sky. It always keeps going into the perfect day. And so the Lord's desire is that we're growing, that we're becoming more like him, that we're shining brighter, that our lives and the light is increasing in our life. And there's a greater glory of the Lord in our lives. Now, Paul exhorts the Corinthian church. They weren't growing. And he gives them a strong exhortation in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he says in verse 1, "I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. And I fed you with milk, not solid food." And then he says, you know, "For you are still carnal, for where there is strife and divisions and envy, aren't you still carnal and behaving like mere men?" So he gives them an exhortation, like he was expecting that they should not be that way anymore. And in Hebrews chapter 5, the writer of Hebrews, it says, you know, I wish I could have given you solid food by now, but I still have to give you milk because you're still babes in Christ. And he says that in 5 verse 12, and he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles." And so this growth is not something that's just going to necessarily automatically happen for each believer, because the church and the brethren in Hebrews, he was expecting that they would be more mature than they were. They should have been more mature. And so there's things that as a disciple of the Lord, as a Christian, there's things that we need to grow. And I'm going to share a couple points on that, a few points. And I'm going to go through it hopefully efficiently here. And so the first thing, just think of a seed. When you think of a seed putting into the ground, it's the Christian life is just so parallel to something growing in the ground. The first thing the seed needs to do when it goes into the ground is it has to die. The seed has to die. And so it says, "What you sow is not made alive unless it dies." And in John chapter 12, Jesus explains it very clearly. In John 12, verse 24, It says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. And so there has to be a dying. And when we talk about a dying, I think of, okay, yes, there is the first time when we receive Christ, when we repent and believe and we go and we are crucified with Christ. There's a first time there's a dying. But then there's, and that is where we are born again. But then we have to die daily. And what does that mean, die daily? It means we're dying to our own will and our own ways. We're picking up our cross. Jesus says, unless you pick up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be my disciple, right? And Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I love this passage. It's so clear. How do we get the life of Jesus? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. We're always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. See, there are always, and it's in verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. It wasn't natural death that they were delivered to daily. It was death to themselves. It was laying down their life for Jesus. It was laying down their will and their desires for Christ. So just like Jesus, he died daily, right? He died to himself. He died to his will. And so we have to always carry about this dying of the Lord. And so that's where the life comes from. So the seed has to go into the ground and die in order to bear fruit. So let's keep that in mind. That's the first point. The seed has to die if it wants to grow. It has to. Once it dies and it breaks open, then there's a seedling. And what does the seedling need? The seedling needs nourishment. It needs food and water and nutrients. And so that's exactly what we need. That's exactly as when we go into the ground and die and then we become a babe in Christ. What we need is food. And so in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. So I think this is a good tie-in to what Andrew shared, because it's like, how are we going to grow? How are we going to get this abundant life? We need to die to ourselves through faith, and we need nourishment. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, or the Lord is gracious. That's so clear. We're here with Joey and Chelsea Bell, and Chelsea Bell was feeding the baby. The baby needed milk in order to grow. The baby doesn't get milk, the baby's not going to grow. But I just saw the baby. The baby's growing. So the baby is healthy, and because it's receiving nourishment. And the same with our walk with the Lord. We need food. And that is the word of God. We need to spend time with Jesus in his word. And the word has to be made real to us. It has to be revealed unto us through his Holy Spirit. It's not about just putting in the time. You know, I've done that, and it doesn't bring life. It's, Lord, make your word alive to me. I need to hear your voice through your word. I need that living word. And so to spend time in his word and allow it to become living to us, the Holy Spirit has to reveal unto us. And if we have the desire, he will do it. He will give us the desires of our heart. And what more of a good desire can we have than, Lord, I want to know you. I want to have your word alive into my life. I want to have victory. And I want to taste and see the Lord is good. That verse 3, it's like, if indeed you've tasted the Lord is gracious. Do you know that part of growing is that we need to know the Lord is good? And when we read the scriptures, it is revealed to us in the life of Christ and that God is good. And if we don't believe that God is good and that he's a mean God, angry and constantly wants to, you know, discipline us constantly, and he's not loving and caring, how are we going to grow? So we need to see that God is good, and we're going to see that in the Word of God. Second Peter 1, verse 19 says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." There it talks about the morning star again. The sun, which is Jesus, you know. So how do we get that morning star rising? It says we have to take heed to the prophetic word. So when we have the word of God and we're reading the word of God, we have to take heed to the word. That's how the morning star is going to rise. That's how we're going to grow. Take heed to the word, not just to be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. It talks about that in James, right? To be doer of the word. If we're a hearer only and not a doer, it's like we're looking in a mirror and we're going away and forgetting what we look like. And so the word is likened to a mirror. And then it talks about how we have this, let's see here, in James, just flip it to it. James 1, it says in verse 25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So the word is likened to a mirror, and it's the perfect law of liberty. And when we think about that, we can look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. Sorry, I'm flipping to a lot of verses, but you can don't have to turn there or if you don't have time. But 2 Corinthians 3:18, "We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God." So another version says, "All of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord." So when we have that veil removed, we can now see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So part of seeing the glory of the Lord, we need to see the glory of the Lord before we can reflect the glory of the Lord. We have to see it. How are we going to see it? The veil needs to be removed in Christ. And then we're going to see the glory of the Lord through his word. That's one way, one key way we can see it. So through the life of Christ, study the life of Christ and see his compassion, his hatred for sin, his how he lived. We can see the life of Jesus, and through that we'll see the glory of Christ. Another example there is in Exodus 34, when Moses wanted to see the glory of God. And what he did was he proclaimed his name. The Lord proclaimed his name. And what he proclaimed was that the Lord was merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. But yet he is holy and he is just. Right? So we can see the glory of the Lord through the word. And that's another way we're going to, in order to reflect his glory like a mirror, we need to see it. And unlike Moses, who the glory faded when he went out of the presence of the Lord, it was a fading glory. In the new covenant, the abundant life is not a fading glory. It's an ever-increasing glory. It says from glory to glory that we're being changed into that same image. What are we being changed into? To the image of Christ Jesus. That's his desire. And that's day by day. Just like the sun is rising in the sky, there should be an ever-increasing glory until the perfect day. So first point is we need to die. Second point is we need nourishment. You know, Jesus said in Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, it says, "If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap everlasting life." And so what are we sowing? What are we feeding on? That's we need to, in order to grow, we need to feed on things that are going to feed our spirit, not feed the flesh. Because if we feed the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. Just like a child. If you feed a child chips and junk food day by day, they're going to become weak and sick. And they're going to end up in the hospital. If they're just getting complete sugar and pop and garbage, they're going to end up in the hospital. They're going to get diabetes. But if you feed them good food, feed your spirit good food, then we're going to grow. We're going to be healthy. We're going to mature in Christ. You know what it says in Matthew 5? Jesus says, be holy, for I am holy. That word is be perfect. He says, be perfect, or be complete, be mature. So we're talking about growing. That is going from a baby to becoming mature. And the Lord is a desire for us is that we would mature and not stay a babe in Christ. So what Jesus says in John 6 is he says, eat my flesh. See, if we want to become like Christ, we want to partake on him, partake of him in order to become like him. And so what does that mean to eat his flesh? We talked about this a couple months ago, I think. Well, he says in John 6, 56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. In verse 55, he says, my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. That is the true food, to partake of Jesus's flesh. And you know what Jesus came to do in 638, chapter 638? I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That's what Jesus came to do. And that's what he's called us to do, not to do our own will, but to do the will of him who sent us. And that is eating his flesh. That is living like him through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's, as I shared already, dying to ourselves and obeying his commandments. It's denying our will. That's eating his flesh. That's partaking of him, because that's what he did. And eating his flesh is doing what he did through his Spirit. Can't do it without his Spirit. It has to be by the Spirit of God. Can't be through trying. It has to be through dying. You know, we have to die to our way, not just try. Okay, so the third thing that we need to grow is we need the sun. The plant needs sun, right? So if you look at plants, they grow towards the sun. They face the sun. They need sunlight. And we need the Lord. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to have that to grow. Just as I shared in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, being transformed into the same image, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we're being transformed by the Spirit. Yes, we are reading the word, but the Lord needs, it says, receive with meekness the implanted word, right? So we need to have that humble and meek heart to receive the word, but he has to give the increase. He has to bring the growth into our lives. And, you know, Paul, they're talking about in 1 Corinthians 3, you know, Paul says, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. There they're talking about souls specifically, but it's the same principle in growing in our Christian life. You know, we can feed on the Lord and go and get nourishment, but the Lord has to bring the growth through the power of the Holy Spirit. A good example of that is in Mark 4, verse 26-28. I'm going to flip there. Mark 4, he said in verse 26, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. Okay, so that's encouraging, because growth doesn't come through striving in our own strength. It doesn't come through being tense and stressed and being, you know, I've witnessed this. When you're under the law, there's just death there. When you're under the law means that you're trying to perfect yourself through keeping everything perfectly, and you can't. And you think your righteousness comes through doing those works, and your righteousness does not come that way. Our righteousness that way is filthy rags. And so our righteousness is because of the blood of Jesus Christ and justified by his blood. And so this here is a wonderful parable that Jesus shared, that, you know what? When the man was resting, he found rest. And Andrew talked about the rest. When we find rest through faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that's where the growth is. That's where the growth happens. He's going to bring it to pass. And in 2 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, it says, may the God of peace sanctify you completely, And may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord. And it says that God is faithful. He himself will do it. Isn't that wonderful? That there's a sanctification that happens and that God will do it. And that's that the crop yielding its fruit, you know, where there's the blade in the head and the full grain in the head. And how it happens when the man is at rest. He's entered the rest through faith. And, you know, I want to slightly clarify that the man prepared the ground. So the ground was prepared. And in Luke 18, verse 15, when the seed was scattered in this parable of the seed and the sower, it was the seed that fell on the ground. On those, it says, having heard the word with a noble, honest, and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So the ground was prepared. So all our heart needs to be prepared for the seed. And that is just having an honest and humble heart to be able to receive the seed. Hosea 10 verse 12 says, sow for yourselves righteousness. So we're supposed to sow righteousness. That's what are we sowing, right? Are we sowing to the Spirit? That's righteousness. And then reap in mercy. We're going to reap what we sow, right? We're going to sow righteousness. We're going to reap mercy. Then it says, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. That's a perfect picture in that verse of what we do and what the Lord does. We're sowing righteousness and we're breaking up the fallow ground. Fallow ground is ground that was cultivated, but then it was left for a long time to rest. But then it grows weeds and it becomes hardened. In order to receive the seed, that ground needs to be broken up and the weeds need to be taken out. And so it says, then it's time to seek the Lord. And I see that as that's how we do that. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and turn from sin and be humble and receive the word with meekness so that the Lord can bring the increase, right? The Lord will bring the increase and then he'll rain a righteousness on us. All right. Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. There's another, the two sides of the coin, right? Working out your salvation, but it's God working in us. There's two parts of that wonderful picture. And as we trust the Lord, we can enter that rest and know the Lord will cause us to grow. Okay, the last point in maturing and growing in the Lord. So we heard about we need to die. We need nourishment through the word of God. And we need the Son. We need the Holy Spirit. The last one is we need fellowship. We need fellowship. We can't be just alone. God created the body. He created a local body. There's a global body and there's a local body. And we need a local body as well to get encouragement. And God prepared in every body. He's prepared some to be apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists. In Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16, it talks about the importance of the gifts that he gave within his body. Ephesians 4, verse 11, he himself gave some to be prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. That's a mature man. So we're talking about maturing, growing to the full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head. So that's the important part of the body and the gifts he gave us. The Lord gives spiritual gifts so that we may grow. And so we will not be like children tossed by different teachings and false teachings and stumblings constantly. And so he's given the body to help equip the sheep. And the purpose is so we may grow up into the fullness of the stature of Christ. So that is in keep part. And it's interesting, he created some plants that can't bear fruit unless there's another plant, you know, male and female plant. They have to be in the same area in order to actually bear fruit. So I see that as a picture of how the Lord created some plants where they have to have another plant there to grow fruit. And we ourselves, we need fellowship and we need the local body. In Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, it says, encourage, let's see here, I'll flip there, Hebrews 10, 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, and our assembling looks different right now. And we're assembling here, and people have assembled in their homes together. We're not to forsake that, because we need to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. When we get together and when we talk and communicate with one another, whether it's texting, phone calls, it's to stir up love and good works. And we are all a part of that. Every one of us has an important part to stir one another up to love and good works. Not one person is left out. Everyone's been given that calling. And everyone's been given a gift to share and use, every Christian, to encourage and build up the body. And it says, all the more as you see the day approaching. That's the day of the Lord. That's when the Lord returns. And Jude says that when the Lord comes and he, with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all the ungodly, right? And then in Malachi, at the very last chapter 4, very last chapter of the Old Testament, it says, behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. All the proud, all who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. You shall go out and grow fat like a stall-fed calf. So to those who fear his name, the day will not be a dreadful day, it will not be a fearful day, but he will come with healing in his wings. And so as the day approaches, which is, we know the day is approaching, and every day after day, that day gets closer, we're supposed to be more diligent to assemble together and encourage one another as the day of the Lord is approaching. So what time is it today?
11:47.
Share just one last thing about fellowship. You know, does anyone know the story of David and the giant? What do you think of? Who do you think of when you think of the giant? What do you think the giant's name is? You think it's Goliath? Well, I'm thinking of another story, and it's just showing us the importance of fellowship. Okay, 2 Samuel 21. Second Samuel 21, verse 15. The giant's name was not Goliath. It was Ishbi-Benob. I don't know how you say that, but have anyone heard of Ishbi-Benob? That's not as popular of a story. David and Goliath is more popular and more well-known. But this is teaching us something about fellowship and the importance of brothers and sisters. In verse 15, when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines. And David grew faint. Can you imagine, how could David grow faint? I mean, when he was a young youth, he took his sling and he trusted the Lord and swung the sling. And it seemed like he didn't need much other than he just needed the Lord. But here, he was a little older, and he was getting tired, and he grew faint. And then Ishbi-Benob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. So he was there. He was going to kill David. He had him cornered, probably. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. He needed a brother in the Lord. He was completely faint and weak, and this giant was going to kill him, but the Lord provided somebody. And so there's times when we can feel weak and faint and grow weary. And yes, first and foremost, we need to seek the Lord, and we need the Lord. But also we need fellowship and we need brothers, because just as Moses, his arms were growing weary, and when his arms were up, Israel was defeating the enemy, but his arms got tired. Just try holding your arms up for 2 minutes. It hurts. And his arms were going down. But so he had one brother on one side and one on the other holding his arms up. And when his arms were being supported by the brethren, and then the victory, the Israel defeated the enemies. And so that's a wonderful picture. We need one another. So let's continue to encourage one another day by day, exhort one another, come alongside, lift one another up, and be mindful of that throughout your day and your weeks, so that we can grow in Christ and become more like him. And that's his desire. So pray for us, pray for me, pray for one another, and let's encourage one another day by day. Amen.